Hello, everybody. Welcome to Versus Pop Culture. My name is Richard. With me is Johnny.
Yes, sir.
And Greg.
Hello.
Gentlemen, we have a lot to discuss this week. So since we decided to take a month and a half off because Greg is being a little bitch, we missed a lot of things. Big, important things. Well, things that we talk about a lot.
We didn't miss them. We just didn't talk about them for the purposes of a podcast.
I mean, if that's how you want to look at it, that's fine. So, yeah. On deck for today, Ted Lasso, Season 3. Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 3. FUBAR, Season 1. And we went to the Blink-182 concert. Two out of three of us in different cities.
It's the majority.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, let's go ahead and get into it. Since we at one point basically became a Ted Lasso recap podcast, let's talk about Ted Lasso Season 3. Season 3 is now over.
I mean,
the show
is over.
The show is over, but will probably still be carried on in some form or another.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Yeah, there's more than a good chance that there will be another show starting next year or the year after, starring basically everybody not named Jason Sudeikis. which is fine, because some of the best episodes this year barely had Jason Sudeikis in them, so we'll see.
Thoughts and feelings. Three seasons of the one thing that made us feel good all the time.
I wouldn't say all the time, but
pretty consistently all the time.
This season I thought was actually very good overall. It was probably the worst of the three seasons. Yeah. But the first two set a very, very high bar. My only complaint with this season is that in a season that largely was pretty well known, will more than likely be the final season of the show as it is right now, there was some meandering in it. And I'm not, like, there are a lot of people who are really upset about the entire, like, KJPR, like, subplot. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't bother me. Like, you know, they gave Keeley something to do. But, I don't know, like, there were just, like, for a show that had 12 episodes to wrap up 3 years worth of storyline, it just feels like there were points where they were like, all right, cool. And this is going to be a filler episode where basically nothing happens.
Okay, so for each of you, what was your biggest takeaway from the third season?
That for the most part, it stuck the landing.
I feel like the season could have been paced better.
Yeah.
Like the... From episode 8 on, like episode 8 to 12, could have been, you know, could have been 6 episodes by itself, maybe 7 episodes.
Right.
And it would have gave a little more clarity on certain things. But, I don't know. I don't understand why they kind of rushed the last section and made the episodes longer.
Well, the last 3 episodes, give or take, there was so much that happened. And also so much that didn't happen.
Right.
I mean, in the third to last episode, you had Roy realizing that he messed up with Keeley, going back with Keeley, them boning, and then it just wasn't brought up again until the last episode.
Right.
And when it was brought up in the last episode, they basically didn't mention any of those events.
Right.
Like, I don't know. There were some things that were more than a little puzzling. And whereas, like I said, I'm not upset about it, and I don't have a problem with it, Keeley's entire final arc was puzzling.
But, I mean, there wasn't actually a conclusion to that entire situation.
I mean, there kind of was. She slammed the door in both their faces.
You're content with that as a conclusion?
If the show doesn't come back in, you know, as AFC Richmond with all the same characters, that's going to be the conclusion. I mean, yes, like I said, there's more than a good chance that there is a show coming. Although, personally, I like the idea of it being called Richmond Till We Die. I'm not exactly someone who gets to make that decision.
Right.
Probably call it something like AFC Richmond or something like that. And if they continue that storyline, that's great. But for right now, the lasting end to that storyline is Jamie and Roy got into a pissing contest after an entire season's worth of development between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then went and got a door slammed in their faces. Like, I'm sorry, like, as much as I liked almost the entire final episode, that entire little subplot between them was infuriating.
Kind of with you on that one.
You had an entire season of them, you know, coming together, realizing that they're friends, all this other stuff, and then literally fist fighting over a girl.
You can't make any kind of fits their the way they are, like how they truly are. Because Jamie can't change his stars, neither can Roy.
Yeah, but they both had so much over the course of the season.
True.
I don't know. Anyway, Johnny, what'd you think of it, buddy?
The final... I know I said this earlier in the season. I did not want the Nathan redemption. I didn't need it. I think there was ways to do it without coming back to it. The way they did it was pretty smart. I thought it was a nice thing to see some of the backstory for Coach Beard and Ted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which
brings me to my biggest issue with the final episode. You're going to tell me that Beard getting married, Ted Lasso would not be present. Please somebody explain that to me and make it make sense.
Brendan Hunt actually explained it on a Reddit AMA. In his mind, he thinks that Beard and Jane getting married was kind of a last minute thing, like a spur of the moment, and Ted just couldn't be there because he had just gone overseas. He also believes that Beard and Ted's relationship is one where they can go years without seeing each other and just pick right back up where they left off.
I'm calling cop out.
No, I kind of agree with you. His AMA was actually kind of enlightening to read because there were sections of it where he did really explain things.
Mm-hmm.
But there were also questions like, you know, people were like, hey, why didn't Keeley end up with Roy? And his answer was just because she's Keeley effing Jones and doesn't need a man. And it's like,
yeah.
Well, then why did you spend the entire season doing what you did with her?
Nothing is perfect. We know that. This was as close to it as you could get with a TV show, I think. I feel like the final episode was a little bit of a stumble fest, followed with like just some weird, not inaccuracies, but like omissions.
Plot holes.
Yeah. Where I just kind of like, it felt like it was kind of patchworked together. It felt like it was very hurried. It was like, what is going on? Like, is this a sprint to the finish instead of just giving us maybe one or two more episodes? Kind of to Greg's point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was.
I don't know. It was not my favorite finale of a show. I will tell you that.
And I think what's frustrating about it is, like, there were whole episodes where it felt like the name of the show was, like, excuse me, Ted Lasso can't coach soccer.
Yeah.
Because there were God knows how many episodes where you kept feeling like they were getting ready to turn the corner. And then they didn't. And then there'd be a whole other episode where they're like, well, Richmond's now, you know, continuing to not win. And you could have cut like two or three of those and got them to Amsterdam quicker.
Well, it was one of those things. I loved that they had Richmond not win. They didn't lose the championship. They just didn't win. And I think that was a good way to do it. I think it's a little more rooted in reality, in my mind anyway, that like sometimes you don't have control. You know what I mean? Like it's like a triple threat in wrestling. You don't have to like be pinned to lose. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a little torn on that still. If this really is the end of the series, they didn't put a trophy in Richmond's case. And that was a plot point that was weaved all throughout season one and season two. And I'm not saying they needed to win the Premier League, but they should have won something to put a trophy in Richmond's case. Honestly, I kept waiting for them for either Ted to win Manager of the Year or for Jamie to win Premier League Player of the Year and for them to put that trophy in the case.
Yeah.
Because it would have fit with the show, you know, the whole motto of like, you know, you can't control what happens, but however it happens will be exactly as it needs to be or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It would have 100% played with that.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have made perfect sense. And I just don't know how they didn't do at least that, unless the plan is for the show to continue on and for them to put a trophy in the case under Coach Roy Kent.
I mean, I knew they weren't going to win the Premier League because no team had ever finished above third in the Premier League after being promoted.
Well, no, but Leicester did it 2 years after being promoted.
Right. But the highest somebody's ever finished is third.
Yeah.
Okay,
and
but
that was the 1993-94 Newcastle.
I get that. I'm just saying that, again, Leicester did it 2 years after being promoted. It's not that big of a difference.
Well, I mean, Leicester was just...
The money makes a big difference when you come to the transfer.
Right.
Right, but... The idea has been that Rebecca has loads of money and it really doesn't matter.
But there's other things in place like financial fair play that she, yeah. Even if she has the money, she can't spend it.
Yeah.
Because the amount of money
coming in. The things I'm learning while I start reading about like how these things work and what like actual expectations can be.
Yeah. That's like why, Newcastle United can't spend a ton of money in the transfer window. These, they haven't earned enough to spend the money that they have. Like they're the second, you know, they have the second richest owners in the world. They have like $280 billion. They can't spend any money because they don't earn commercial money to offset it. It's unlike just, like baseball and football.
Yeah. I don't know. This whole thing, I was fine with the way that finished. I'm trying to think of what else was going on. There were, let's see, Nathan, Roy, yeah. I found it weird they didn't wrap up the story with Phoebe's teacher.
I think they kind of did.
When he walked away?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the only way the story of Phoebe's teacher continues on is if there's more to the show and Juno Temple isn't coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll put it up there. It was one of those things. I really enjoyed the series. I thought it was great to have that moment with, like, Pep and Ted and Coach Beard. And then, like, the story with Jamie and his dad, I think, was probably my favorite final side arc. Just seeing the way that that went, like, him finally going to visit him while he's in what I'm assuming is a rehabilitation clinic.
Yeah.
I think that was probably, I think Jamie's was probably my favorite story for this final season.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had a really good arc overall, I think. His understanding that he's not just a single player on a team was
his press conference.
Oh yeah,
and Roy just getting so mad. Yeah, no, I think
where's me rings? What was it? Where's me wings, Roy?
Yeah, that was. Yeah. And then the posters in Jamie's childhood room absolutely sent me with Roy Kent with that weird bob top afro that he had going on.
Yeah, and I don't know, like that whole episode, literally second to last episode, it really felt like they were putting Roy and Keeley back together and that Jamie had moved on.
Yeah.
That's why it made it so goddamn weird.
I'm going to ask a question off camera here, just real quick, to ask what the most frustrating and satisfying part was for Ashley to watch this series as well.
Okay. Greg, how about you, buddy? Where are you at with it?
The most frustrating part for me was the last four episodes. I mean, I wanted more information on the pilot, which we found out he was a pilot later. Because I really liked the chemistry between those two people, and I want to see Rebecca win.
I did not like that guy.
What?
I don't know why. I know I'm in the minority on this. I did not like the pilot.
The dude from Amsterdam?
Dude from Amsterdam.
What? How could you not like him?
I don't know. There was just something about the dude that rubbed me the wrong way.
I think you're like the only person.
Trust me, I'm very aware of this. I made a comment on Reddit about not liking the pilot, and I got downvoted to oblivion.
Right.
Of course. You would think I just said I effed every one of their moms, because it was like immediately I was at like negative 150. And after you're down like 10 points, it hides the comment. So people were unhiding the comment and going, excuse me? And clicking down.
But like, you're not even happy that Rebecca finally got her child?
True.
It's great that Rebecca met someone with a kid that is adorable and also played little Rebecca in the mirror. But no, the pilot, I don't know. There was something about that dude that just rubbed me the wrong way. And I just did like not like that guy. This is
the most interesting thing I need to really dig to find the roots of, because like I have no concept or any idea anything that guy did that was like even out of pocket enough that you could be like, I don't trust him.
It was the fact that he like Rebecca did all of the talking and then he just sat there looking at her quizzically and going, you know, like, no. Like that was like his entire dialogue. He said like eight things the entire episode and then stood there. Well, Rebecca would basically be monologuing.
He's a nurturer. She hasn't had anyone that is served in that role. That's why it worked.
Great. I still found him off-putting.
Just in. Richard's banned from Amsterdam indefinitely. Just because of a TV character. He's like a national hero now. You're on some weird poster board inside like their Kremlin, or whatever their version of it is. No entry permitted.
Their Kremlin. Customs. Like, Amsterdam has a Kremlin.
it's made of chocolate and probably weed. I don't know.
I was going to say, there's probably just one giant dispensary that you go into.
It's the world headquarters for Curaleaf. It's fine. Ashley's favorite would have been the redemption for Jamie. And she did tell me that Roy and Keeley not winding up together was the absolute, to quote a wrestling term, drizzling shit.
Honestly, I would have been fine if Roy and Keeley breaking up at the beginning of the season was just it. It's the fact that episodes 10 and 11 basically put them back together. And then they were like, oh, no, they're not actually back together. As a matter of fact, here's a door being slammed in their face. And it legitimately seemed like it was all done so they would have an excuse to be like, well, she's Keeley fucking Jones.
It was good. I mean, I always laugh at this a little bit because it's still not the most frustrating series finale that my wife has ever watched. I do believe that Sopranos will forever and always hold that mantle. She's hated Journey ever since. But I just, yeah, I think if they had extended that season, even just by two episodes, I think it would have been a more satisfying conclusion without feeling like, dude, what? Like, okay, I saw everything that happened. But I feel like I need to go back and rewatch it. But at the same time, I don't want to go back and rewatch it.
Yeah. Well, at the end, did Ted? I wanted to get consensus. Did Ted get back with his ex? Is that?
I feel like he was just going to see Henry.
Yeah.
Because Henry obviously lives with his ex. I don't know why she didn't meet him at the airport, but.
I don't know. I got the vibe that he like moved back in with her. Like he took a thing to there and you didn't see Jake ever since.
Oh, I mean, them watching that last match. The writing was on the wall.
That dude was
gone. Also love that Rebecca sold 49% of the team ownership to the fans.
Yeah, going all Packers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is such an easy way for me to explain what, like, Packers ownership looks like.
I love that May bought a good chunk of it.
Yeah. Yeah, she's going to be up on the podium during a shareholders meeting. She's got so many shares.
Mm-hmm. That's funny. No, it was... I don't want to rate it because... It's one of those things that I feel like if I was to lend a rating to this finale, it kind of like cheapens the rest of the series. I'm fine on an episode by episode basis doing it, but I think overall, this will be a series that that we will probably end up rewatching a few times. And I think that's all you really need to say as far as like how you feel about it.
Yeah. I watched the one with the strings. The episode with the strings.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I watched it the other day. It still made me almost die laughing.
Okay, you know the biggest upside to Roy becoming coach?
More strings.
Yeah, he perfected the idea, and they were like, we're done with it. Not anymore, baby.
Oh, the dick string episode. That was...
Everyone's dick is going to be tied to Jamie's dick.
Oh god, no, that was even right down to the musical number that they did from Sound of Music was fantastic. It was good stuff. They did a good job. I just feel like they could have stretched that into like two or three episodes instead of just trying to cram everything into one.
No, I relatively agree. I don't know. There are things that they did that I understand. I'm fine with him not telling Rebecca on camera that he's leaving. But there definitely was stuff they could have expounded on, and it really does. It feels like if you had them sit down and rewrite the season over again after having read what they like did from start to finish, someone would have looked at it and been like, why are episodes 5, 6, 7, and 8 just about how shitty of a coach Ted is? You know, why don't we have him have a barbecue sauce infused dream in episode 5 and move up the total football storyline? Oh, I don't know, like 4 episodes.
We'll never know, man. It's just one of those things that, like, people are always going to question some of the decisions from this season. And I think, unfortunately, that's why, as you alluded to earlier and said, like, this is probably the worst of the three. I mean, it doesn't mean it's a bad season. It just means of the expectation and the quality we experienced in the prior two, I don't think they really hit the same threshold this season. And that's okay. It's still got rewatchable qualities to it. There's a lot of things that you can see again and enjoy. And I mean,
yeah, I'm not sitting here saying it ruined the show or anything like that. In the end, they told exactly the story they wanted to tell in the way that they wanted to tell it. So it doesn't really fucking matter if we're like, well, you know, they should have done this or should have done that. And it's not really a problem for me. Like, I did like the show overall. I don't feel like it ruined anything, and I will definitely at some point go back and rewatch the entire season.
Yeah, that'll happen for us too, as well as the Christmas episode every year at Christmas, because it was fantastic.
Yeah.
So anyways, it made us cry. There's a couple cry-worthy moments there. Coach Beard's backstory and history. Nathan saying, you can headbutt me if you want. And low-key, I wished even up to and including that moment, he did. There was no cost to some of the stuff that happened. And maybe that's by nature, but I think just one good solid headbutt and I would have been satisfied with the rest of it.
Yeah. And that was obviously a story they were trying to tell, that, you know, you can get over things and people deserve forgiveness and all that, but it's just like, the fuck. So I don't know, whatever.
Can we talk about something else that made us cry? Just get this out of the way and talk about fun things.
Yes. Moving on, we're going to talk about FUBAR on Netflix.
Oh.
Definitely made me cry. Okay, so if you are an avid listener who has heard, I don't know, like 3 episodes back, I discovered and then watched True Lies, the TV show on CBS. I made it through the pilot and then said, Jesus Christ, why did they make this? And gave a whole lot of reasons why no one should ever watch it. Apparently, while that was being developed, Arnold was developing his own version of True Lies, the TV show, called FUBAR on Netflix. It is basically True Lies. It is not True Lies, the TV show. It is basically True Lies. It involves a CIA agent who has hidden his double life from his family the whole time. A member of his family finding out. And their adventure and hijinks together. It even has a Tom Arnold cameo in it.
Just like Trailer Park Boys. And you would know that if you watch it.
No. Anyway, moving on. Is it the greatest TV show I've ever watched? No. But I mean this in the best way possible. It legitimately feels like someone just sat down and wrote a 6-hour 90s action movie. It is all the things that you want out of a 90s or early 2000s action movie distilled down into 6 episodes on Netflix starring Arnold Schwarzenegger. So if you are a fan of the original True Lies or a fan of 90s action movies, you should give this thing a watch. I legitimately enjoyed it. I watched the first 2 episodes one night, and then I ended up watching the last 4 episodes in one sitting. It was a lot of fun.
So you enjoyed it?
Yeah. It's what a True Lies TV show should have been.
Is there any potential issues with the fact that Arnold saw the TV series and he's like, no.
I assume based on the production value of this that it was already in production before they started shooting the TV series. But it wouldn't shock me if Arnold saw the script for like the pilot for the TV series and he was just like, we gotta fix this shit.
Yeah.
So yeah, like I said, if you're a fan of those genres or a fan of older Arnold movies, you should give it a shot because there's a lot of fun to be had there.
If you've seen True Lies, watch FUBAR, the end.
Pretty much, yeah.
Now, should they watch FUBAR prior to or following True Lies if they've never seen it?
You can enjoy it fine on its own. You don't necessarily have to watch True Lies. But that being said, True Lies is legitimately one of the best action movies of the 1990s. So if you haven't seen it, you should make a point to go out and watch True Lies.
Okay. I mean, that's just a hard recommend, no matter who you are. That's a fantastic movie.
Okay, that brings us to Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Do we have to go real in-depth on Guardians 3? Because I don't know if I'm, like, emotionally equipped.
A.K.A. James Gunn kicks Johnny in the dick over and over again.
A.K.A. James Gunn, like, just... Yep. I don't think I've seen my wife that angry in a film.
not angry because it was bad.
No, she was and still is mad. We probably won't rewatch that film.
Nothing about that movie, like, it's not memorable to me. Like, I don't remember.
It wasn't even that. It's just the implications and the suggested content is not something that sits
well. Okay, with hold on. Of us. Let's just break it down. It's been long enough. A bunch of little animals get tortured.
I mean, you kind of knew that. I mean, look at Rocket.
Yeah, I don't understand how. It was news to Johnny.
Bro.
And truth be told, if I had known in advance a little tiny bit, because I've tried to avoid everything prior to movies coming out now, because they put out so many different trailers and teasers and clips and all this other crap. By the time you get there, you're like, oh yeah. Yep. That's about what I expected. Dude, I was so mad. I was so goddamn mad. Even though a scene where they, like, killed that Ravager and his little pet was, like, just super distraught and, like, crying in his lap. Yo, that shit didn't need to happen. Nobody asked for any of that. Thanks, James. Now, go do whatever in DC. And just anytime there's animals involved in any of the properties you have hands on, I will not be watching it.
You aren't going to watch Captain Carrot and the Zoo Crew?
No. And if the Super Pets ever get involved in James Gunn's DC Universe, I will have no part of that either. He killed... killed Yondu, celebrated at the end of the film. That made me cry. And then as hard as I cried at that, he decided to drag that out for almost 3 hours with the third film. Which a lot of it was pretty good. If I could have seen it. Not through tear stained eyes.
I enjoyed the movie overall. I took Julie and Greg to see it. Julie turned to me as it ended and said that she cried 5 times. She still liked it and wants to see it again. So yeah, I'm actually just waiting for it to hit video on demand.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it was good. I just think the content matter. It's not for like lack of quality that I won't rewatch it. It's just like, if I know I feel that way, it's kind of like the film Big Fish. Love the movie, can't watch the movie. Because I know what's going to happen. I'm going to cry like a goddamn child, and it doesn't seem enjoyable to me. Accept it for what it is. I know it's good. I know I enjoy it. Ready to move on. As far as Guardians films, I still think I would put this ahead of number 2 and behind the first.
Yeah, pretty much.
Number 2 just didn't hit all of the marks for me that I experienced in the first one. The third film hit more of them. And again, I've said this for a while now, ever since Guardians hit with that soundtrack, every goddamn movie is trying to do the same thing by shoehorning music in all the time. We just watched that Air flick from Ben and Matt, and I couldn't focus because every 4 seconds they were trying to wedge another song into the movie. And I'm like, the issue is that this is, I know it's happened in previous films, but I shit you not. Pay attention to movies when you go see them. And I'm not talking like the Oscar type stuff because they don't really do that. But like every other film, even with this new Shazam, which by the way, oof. I felt like Greg for 2 hours.
I haven't watched the new Shazam yet.
Oh God, don't. But it's the same thing, and all these films are falling into the same trap where it's like every 10 to 15 seconds is another song. And I'm like, guys, you lose the emphasis, you lose the impact that it has if you don't let it breathe naturally the way that James Gunn used in the original Guardians. I felt he kind of caught himself up in the second one. I felt like this was done a little bit better. The Christmas special I thought was fantastic. As far as music goes, I thought they did a great job. But man, I can't focus on like new films coming out since Guardians because it's just like everybody's trying to replicate that formula. And the problem is that you're not James Gunn.
Well, I think the thing to kind of keep in mind regarding Air is that Air is... God, this really pains me to say considering when it's set... Air is a period piece. You know, it's set deeply in the past, and that's kind of a thing that period pieces do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you have a movie set 30 or 40 years ago, like Air is, Jesus Christ, that's one way that they push the ambiance is by putting on music from that time frame.
Mm-hmm.
Gross Point Blank did it, for example. Hell, I think they had 2 soundtracks worth of music from Gross Point Blank. So, it's not exactly shocking that Air did it, but yeah, if Shazam's trying to push it in, then that just means that someone saw Guardians of the Galaxy recently and they were like, I got a great idea. 17 song soundtrack.
I don't know. It's It's really, I just find it more distracting than anything. I mean, they tried it with the Suicide Squad. I felt like they did an okay job. And then everything since then, it's just been, you can't even just let me enjoy it. It just beat me over the head with it. It stops being fun. And it really kind of just spoils what could have been a potentially better film. This is probably right behind Wakanda Forever for the best film they've had since the end of the Infinity Saga. And I'm pretty comfortable saying that. I still think Wakanda Forever was not as good as the first, but pretty damn close. But light years ahead of everything else Marvel's done. I know you're going to disagree because I know everybody loved that Spider-Man film, but I still felt it was a little too pandery for me. Greg?
Yeah.
Where do you place Guardians 3 on the full scale versus this current era?
I thought it was fine. I didn't think it was amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of what after seeing the first two, it was kind of predictable what you think was going to happen with the comedy, and the plot was obviously not predictable because it was kind of designed that way. But you know, it was going to have good music, it was going to hit at certain times, mm-hmm. but it wasn't. You know, it didn't hit you like the first or the second one. The second one wasn't very good for me because I thought it was too much like a comic book. But I think it was better than the second one, but nowhere near the first one. But the first one was also like the first of its kind type thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't plan on rewatching it. You know, it's not a very memorable movie.
Okay.
In my eyes.
Do you care whatsoever about this new iteration of the Guardians if they decide to carry it forward as a team?
No, not at all.
I don't see them just doing Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 4 with that team. I see them more likely showing up as a team in, like, Kang Dynasty.
Like an ensemble-type situation.
Yeah, and if they get a chance to shine in Kang Dynasty, kind of like the Guardians did in Infinity War, mm-hmm. I could see them possibly spinning out of that with Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 4.
Okay.
But I don't see them, you know, waiting 2 years and then being like, by the way, the rocket-led Guardians are back, baby.
Yeah.
Here's a whole bunch of characters you don't give half a shit about. Moving on to our final topic now that we've beaten that dead horse. Johnny and I both saw Blink 182 in May.
Oh boy. I think you had a very good time at the show, and I think our experience was a little bit less so.
Okay, but let's talk about the show and not what happened around the show.
That would be fantastic.
Unless you really want to talk about what happened around the show. I mean, you're welcome.
Not particularly. What? No. Obviously, it's an amazing thing to see the three of them playing music together again after being, you know, split, doing their own thing. I still, despite the fact that Tom wasn't wrong about aliens, I just feel like the band might be better off without him. I'm sorry. Something just, and you and I spoke to this, where we're pretty sure, like, Mark has more of an appreciation for this tour than probably anybody else, just because of what he has been through and being faced with, you know, cancer and the treatment and getting through that, plus COVID and everything. I think he is probably the most appreciative human being on the planet that they get to do this again.
Yeah.
But, like, Tom waxing poetic literally just about Dix and fucking his mom for, like, 2 hours was, like, it was funny. There was a comedian that had a line, I think it might have been Bill Burr, he's like, the last thing I want to see is a dude that used to crack jokes about, like, dicks and all this other kind of stuff, when he's getting near 60, is still joking about dicks. I was like, that's all I could think of this whole time. I was like, at some point, like, at some point you turn the corner, right? Am I wrong?
Yeah, no, I don't know.
The way that Mark did it was more like kind of looking back and just like funny haha, whereas Tom just like kept trying to push the envelope the whole time.
It was honestly toned down by the time they made it to Cleveland.
Okay. I mean, we did see the second show,
yeah.
Third show, because first was Minnesota. Then there was a Friday, Saturday, Sunday show in Chicago. We saw the Saturday. So we were at the third show.
Yeah. Yeah. And they had done the two Coachella sets. And we watched, I watched the first Coachella set by myself. And I watched the second one with Amy. And even she commented, she's like, they can't keep saying stuff like this. This stuff will get them canceled in 2023. And I was like, well. Yeah.
Probably not cancel, but like at some point it just like it was funny when we were all like of the age where that shit was funny, and now it's just like, dude, I get it, but it's like it's already in the song, you know what I mean? Like we're already making these references and we're touching on the subject matter, and like in between maybe let's talk about how nice it is, like give us, this is the first time you've played together as a band 17 years.
Yeah, oh no, not 17 years.
How long had it been?
Like, 9.
I thought it was longer than that.
Do you not remember they had an entire reunion between 2009 and 2014?
No, man. You're talking about a phase of my life where, like, I don't remember much.
Yeah, no, the band split in, like, 2004, 2005, something like that, like shortly after Untitled's release and their Untitled tour, and then they got back together after Travis's plane crash and did an entire reunion tour in 2009 and released Neighborhoods in 2011,
right.
And then toured, actually we saw them literally the day after we got married in 2011. Yeah, no, it's, yeah, they, it has not been that long, but no, I do get what you're saying, and I don't know, I like Tom, I like Mark, I like Travis, but Tom is volatile with the band. Their two previous splits have been because Tom basically said, F this, I'm going home. I'm happy that they're back. I'm happy that they're doing this tour, and it does really seem like they're all enjoying themselves, in particular Mark, who made a comment during our show, which was like, I don't know, almost 2 full weeks after your show. He said something along the lines of, there's going to be a night that I make it through one of these shows without crying, but tonight's not that night.
Yeah.
So I do know it means a lot to him.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a certain amount of, I don't know, there's a certain amount of looking at it and being like, I know that this is going to be a short-term thing. Like, yes, they have an album coming out, and yes, they plan on touring into next year, but it's just a matter of time before Tom is just like, well, no, I gotta go work on Angels and Airwaves again, or whatever, because this is not his main priority.
Oh, I just remembered the reference I was trying to make. It's in The Wedding Singer when they're at the bar. And he's like, you know what happened to the Fonz? Their shows got canceled because they don't want to see a 60-year-old dude hitting on girls. Like, that's, I know it's like a bit of a reach, but at the same time, like, it just kept hitting me where I was like, at some point, like, you just have to I'm not saying they have to grow up, but I mean, like, come on, man. You're both pushing 50. I don't need to hear about you, like, jerking off on Mark's mom.
Yeah, and like I said, they had cut back on that quite a bit by the time they made it to our show.
Yeah.
I think the other thing to kind of remember is we largely kind of grew up with them.
Right.
I was among the older people in my section.
Oh.
the majority of the
people. I was the only one with gray hair in our section, let's be honest.
Yeah. The majority of the people around us were like in their 20s. And there's a certain amount of being like, okay, you know, maybe the dick banter isn't for me, but these people are still of the age that they probably enjoy it.
Oh boy. It was good. I think the set list, everything was fantastic. I mean, I had no issues with it. I would have liked to hear some more from Bored to Death. I was surprised, maybe not shocked, that they didn't have... Oh, God, why can't I think of his name now?
Matt Skiba?
Yes. Because they were in Chicago. Like, at no point. And it was also weird hearing Tom sing Matt's portions
Bored to Death from the previous albums.
I was just like, this doesn't feel like, no. These are two very different guys.
I thought it worked pretty well when we heard them. But I'm slightly disappointed that for whatever reason, he didn't play anything off of 9. Mm-hmm. They played 2 songs off California and completely ignored 9.
Yeah.
Which I thought Dark Side was a pretty big hit for them, so I was kind of shocked they didn't play anything, play that at least.
I think we only got 1.
You got Cynical and Bored to Death.
Yeah.
Which Cynical is like barely over 2 minutes, so.
Yeah. No, it was, honestly, man, it was great. I mean, I missed them at Warped Tour, and I never really had a chance to, so this is the first time, and I'm pretty sure it was the first time for Ashley as well. So, I mean, we got to do that and see them together for the first time. I mean, 40's looking okay, boys. 40's looking okay.
This was my 4th time seeing that trio together.
Yeah. I mean, I waited for the right time. Except now I'm like, okay, but now I want to see them with Skiba. So I'm sure at some point shit'll go sideways. And they'll be like, hey man, do you wanna come back? Play a little music?
To be completely honest, I really felt like they were going to hang on to Skiba and do this as a 4-piece.
Yeah.
I really thought that they would do a 4-piece set. And come
I knew they
like
weren't
Voltron.
Going to, only because if you ever watched an interview where he was there with Mark, every single time in every single interview, they would circle back to, oh, do you guys still talk to Tom? Like, how's Tom doing? Is Tom ever going to join the band? And you could see Skiba sitting there, and that man's facial expressions hide nothing. I think he actually was sick to death of talking about Tom.
Oh, it's
anytime they had to do an interview. Like, I'm pretty sure he was outspoken about it at a certain point as well, because he's like, he's not here.
Yeah, it was, no, honestly, it was really shitty the way a lot of those interviewers kind of treated him.
Because, I mean, let's not pretend that Alkaline Trio is not a fucking fantastic band in its own right. So, I mean, to be that dismissive of somebody just because maybe they didn't get the same radio play that Blink did through the years, like, Matt's done really well for himself.
Yeah, no, he has. And he, I don't know, the way that he was kind of treated with the constant mentions of Tom, it was frustrating because Tom wasn't there. Tom didn't want to be there.
And Matt did.
Yeah. And that's and that's kind of the thing that has been kind of frustrating about all of this. You know, I like Tom, but if Tom wasn't there, it was because he didn't want to be there. And for the constant like way that he would be just praised and people would be like, well, if Tom was here, this album wouldn't sound this way. It's like, guess what? Tom isn't here because he made a bunch of demands, made them sign a contract, and then when it came time for him to sign, he said no.
Also, prior to Tom leaving, the music wasn't that great.
Neighborhoods has a couple pretty decent tracks on it, but no, it's basically Angels and Airwaves with
and that's just it.
Mark and Travis.
Yeah, and you lost a lot of what like Blink was, and I mean, not that they were the same band as like, you didn't get Dude Ranch with Matt, but I mean, those albums, technically and from like a writing standpoint, were fucking great albums. Like, how many times did you listen to California?
I liked California a lot, and I liked Nine a lot.
Yeah, I mean, like on repeat, man. I remember during COVID, I had that album on repeat on my runs for like 30 minutes at a time. I'd listen to that album like 4 times on a single run. So like, it was great to see them all together, and I would do it again in a heartbeat. But like you said, it's like CM Punk, you know, shit's going to go sideways. It's just a matter of when.
Yeah.
And on that note, which is a fucking great segue, by the way, I'm proud of myself for that one. Greg.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have a lot to talk about with the transfer window in the next couple weeks. I mean, we already do, but let's hold off. I want to see where some of the biggest pieces end up sliding around. I know we have the international, are they friendlies right now? No, they're qualifiers for the European Cup.
The Euro Cup, yeah.
Okay. And then we have the Summer Stadium series happening, which it's been a week, and the three of us still have not discussed Chelsea Dortmund in Chicago.
In Chicago, yeah.
We could talk about that off camera, off mic. However, if people want to be able to get a hold of you to discuss any sort of soccer happenings, etc., I know we do want to talk about the streaming thing. Do you want to talk about that now, or do we want to touch on that next week potentially?
Well, there's not there's not really a lot to say other than the top streamer from Twitch just got a $100 million 2-year contract from kick.com.
Damn.
Yep. And it was yesterday, I think, was his first stream. It was the first time ever that the just chatting section on kick.com was bigger than Twitch's.
Jesus.
366K people were watching.
There you go, kids. If you're listening, as a parent or as a child, stop telling them to stop playing video games because it won't get them anywhere.
Right.
We are not living in an age where that is even remotely close to true. In fact, I wish I would have played more video games so that the three of us could be living somewhere on Hawaii doing this podcast in person every week and just having a good time at the beach. Greg, if they want to get a hold of you to be able to touch on anything soccer or streaming related, how can they do that?
At Woe Gregory.
And Richard, if they want to get a hold of you to be able to discuss FUBAR or that travesty that is the True Lies TV series on CBS.
At Richard Versus.
And if you have any other questions, concerns, suggestions, or any other show ideas or a mutual watch option, you can contact me through the At Versus podcast, followed by the underscore on Twitter. Above and beyond that, it is Father's Day weekend. Gentlemen, happy Father's Day to the two of you. Hopefully, you know, it's going to be a pretty wild ride for me tomorrow. It will be my first Father's Day to a human being. We're super excited. Going for breakfast. Honestly, you are two of the best dads that I have ever been in contact with. It has been a pleasure to know you. I appreciate the guidance and the camaraderie you guys have provided me. And I think without you, I probably wouldn't be as confident as a dad now as I am. So I want to thank you both for that. I appreciate you guys. And aside from that, it's a beautiful Saturday. The Reds are 500. The White Sox, fuck Jerry Reinsdorf. Richard.
Have a good week, everybody, and have a happy Father's Day.